G'day. You're listening to The Misadventures of Beau Hogart and the Brilliant Blue-Eyed Woman. My name's Vic, plume.com. Chapter 5, Stain Alive. That's Stain, S-T-A-I-N, Stain Alive. Enjoy. When I woke, Thor, god of thunder, was impatiently tapping his foot on my forehead while waiting to go into battle using his hammer on the back half of my brain. I desperately needed water and tranquilizers. Luckily, knowledge is power and whiskey is made with water, so I got the other packet of triptacs from the glove compartment and washed down some purple pills with my last fluid quarter of Scottish self-abuse. Getting to Vegas ASAP was my priority, but I needed cash, which is always handy, especially if you can get it. And according to Stain Man, there was 50 grand in my bank account, situated just a few feet away. On exiting the combi, I noticed it was now covered in a waving green fur. Skating slowly but with purpose toward the bank, electric blue lines strobed backward and forward along my melting shoes, mimicking a strange deep-sea fish during mating season. Gliding into the bank and past the CCTV camera, I looked into the lens and told it to relax, explaining that we were all just a temporary blip on life's eternal screen, and then I burst out laughing, remembering a cartoon I watched as a kid called Super Chicken. The humanoids in the bank must have noticed my strobing shoes because they were all looking at me in disbelief.
It's not just me, is it?
I asked, adjusting my beard.
You can see them strobing too.
But they immediately lost interest and turned away. Bank teller was a competent-looking woman with patches of phosphorus orange cheek that alternated with yellow images of who can say on her forehead, prompting me to telepathically question if she'd also eaten purple triptacs today. She didn't hear me though, because my mouth was too busy asking her to withdraw 50 grand from my account. Time stopped, just long enough for it to sit down and cross its legs. How timely, I thought, closing my eyes to witness a kaleidoscopic bird of paradise explode inside a prismatic strawberry field. And when my eyelids sprung back open, I continued watching the teller changing colours. She was counting the 50 grand by placing the notes in a money counting machine, which counted the money for her, ultimately leading me to believe she wasn't counting the money at all. But was she?
"Here you are, sir,"
said the vinegary voice, coming from the yellowy orange, smiling with a bitter lemon twist.
"I certainly am," I replied. "But in a way, I'm elsewhere. Or am I?"
Collecting the $50,000 worth of leisure coupons, I watched my legs walk outside, followed closely by my head and torso. I don't believe these purple pills of peculiarity are going to be wearing off in a hurry, I thought, inspecting a shiny button on the jacket of the parking enforcement officer who stood in a world of uniformity while presenting the combi with an official piece of paper laden with formidable etchings, of which my ex-wife would soon be the father.
"Wow, it's beautiful, isn't it, man?"
I drawled, studying the parking officer's coat button like a stoned diamond appraiser, microscoping the great star of Africa. He jumped back, ripping the button from my fingers, fearfully spewing ink-black negative energy in his wake like a land-based squid questioning a bad career decision.
"Keep away from me, you goddamn freak,"
he growled, staggering backward.
"Don't live in fear, man,"
I sang, peeling off handfuls of cash, throwing the slavery slips at him like confetti.
"Choose love, head for the white, man. It's all up to you. The only thing to fear is negative. negative energy itself.
The parking dude continued staggering backward.
Free yourself, man!
I cried, moving forward, my waving arms flowing in circular motions, making amazing vapor trails in their wake, like an electric air-filled ocean set to random. Unfortunately, he didn't get it. So I poured myself back into my combi bus, like a river of gravity-defying gas-filled milk chocolate. Seated behind the steering wheel, I began to realize it wasn't my combi or even my XX's combi. It was actually minerals from our Mother Earth, shaped into a combi and born on top of our Earth Mother's skin. Finally, I understood. It wasn't just a combi. It was a vehicle of the universe. I was now free and captain in charge of allowing the universe's guiding spirit to do what it did best, and it told me I'd best head for the light. The good news was I didn't need a map. The sun was right in front of me, sinking low over the horizon, but only because the Earth was spinning upward. I realized it'd be quicker to turn the combi around and simply wait while the Earth revolved, but I decided to drive into the sunset instead. I was a rock and roll cowboy with purple innards and bad dress sense, riding a painted iron horse covered in musical genius. In hindsight, with only an ounce of foresight and about 2 ton of now, I had no idea I was venturing out on an adventure I shouldn't have been venturing on. It was the beginning of a journey that wouldn't start ending until the end of the beginning stopped starting and finally finished up finishing. Put simply, I was about to experience an experience I was far too inexperienced to experience, and only one thing was certain. The sooner I got hold of some more whiskey, the sooner it would be.
You have now reached the end of chapter 5.